Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening, everyone. It is now the 8:30 hour, Wednesday, October the 20th. It's so amazing how we see time passing on, and we thank God that we're still here. As always, I have to give God the glory, honor, and praise for allowing me to go before his people. And I have to thank him for each and every one of you who have taken time out of your schedule to come and explore the word of God together, to fellowship one with another in the things and the word of God. And I thank God for that. This is words of wisdom, plain and simple. And I'm your host, Diane Adams, a servant of God. Thank you for coming on tonight. Tonight, the title of our lesson is God Expects a Return on His Investment. God expects a return on his investment. Glory, hallelujah. We are coming from the book of Matthew, the 25th chapter, verses 13 through 31. And before we get into the lesson, I'm going to play a song, and I think this song is so appropriate for the program tonight. Listen to it and be blessed.
If I were a drummer, I would use my cymbal. If I were a writer, I would use a pencil. I would use my voice. If I were a singer, no matter who or what we are, we must praise. If I was a doctor, I would use my research, a prolific dissertation. If I was a speaker, I would use my hands. If I were a potter, no matter who or what we are, we must praise. Oh, people of the Lord,
and the people of God, bless him.
Oh, let his praises ring. If I were an eagle, I would use my wings. Ooh, since I'm a believer, I use everything.
Come on, real big.
Make a joyful noise
unto the Lord,
all ye people.
Ooh, oh, oh, yeah. No matter.
Everybody
throw your hands up and praise him. what you are.
We just
pray. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, glory. Oh, holy of holies. Oh, bread of life, God. Oh, meat of hunger, Lord. Water of thirst, Lord. We magnify you. We thank you for what you've done, God. What you're doing, God. And what you're gonna do. No matter who or what we are, we must praise.
Hallelujah. And that song is explaining what the lesson is trying to teach on tonight. They gave a beautiful picture. The songwriter said, no matter who or what we are, we should praise. He gave different examples of people. He said, if you're a writer, use your pen. If you're a singer, use your voice. He's saying that everything that God has given you should be used for his glory. And that was a perfect song for our lesson tonight. Because the title of the lesson is God Expects a Return on His Investment. If you have your Bibles, turn to Matthew, the 25th chapter, and we're going to start at the 13th verse. As always, I do a little background, but before I do that, we have to go to God's throne of grace and prayer. And God is given the opportunity for anyone who would like to pray on tonight to pray at this time. All you have to do is press the one button on your phone and I will open your mic. If anyone would like to pray. Dear Heavenly Father, gracious. Oh, a caller has pressed the button. Salmita.
Yes, ma'am.
You press the one button, darling?
Yes.
Your mic is open.
Father God, I come before you right now, Lord God, thanking you, Father God, for all that you are, for truly you are God and you are God all by yourself. Father God, I come before you, Lord God, lifting up Minister Diane before you, Lord. Lord, we know that she's truly a vessel unto honor and that she allows you willingly, Father God, to use her to bless your people. Well, Father God, I ask that you rain down upon her right now and endow her with a fresh anointing from on high. Speak to her like never before, Lord God, because when you speak to her, she's able to speak to us. And Father God, I just ask that you move in a mighty way upon her life and within her being, Lord God, in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, let your word saturate us, Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus, Lord. Just speak to her heart, Lord God. And as you speak to her heart, Father God, I know that she's going to speak to us what thus says the Lord. So, Lord, I ask that you continue to be with her, Lord God, and crown her with your glory from above. For it is in Jesus' name I ask, pray, and decree. Have your way, Lord God. It is so. Amen.
Amen. And I thank you, my sister. I thank you for accepting the opportunity that God sent out on tonight. And I want you to know that God honors that. And I thank you for the encouragement. I thank you for going to the throne of grace on our behalf for our study on tonight. And I thank you for asking God to use me. Hallelujah. Glory, hallelujah unto God. So again, my sister, I say thank you. And may God bless you. In Jesus' name, I also pray. Amen. Amen. That was beautiful. It was beautiful. And I thank you, God, for having your people lined up for your kingdom. We are one body in Christ, but we are many members. And that's the way God planned it. So again, my sister, I say thank you. So at this time, we're going to do a little background. Again, I'm going to say the title of the lesson because more callers has come on the line. And I want you to know that the title of the lesson tonight is God Expects a Return on His Investment. We coming from Matthew 25, 13 through 31. Well, what I want to let you know tonight, since the title reflects and talks about investments and return, an investment is an asset or an item that is purchased with the hope that it will generate income or appreciate in the future. It may grow. Hallelujah, y'all. The reason you make investments is to receive the best possible return. You see, in an economical sense, an investment is the purchase of goods that are not consumed today, but are used in a future time to create wealth. In finances, an investment is a monetary asset purchased with the idea that the asset will provide an income in the future or appreciate and be sold at a higher price. But when we look at it in a biblical sense, God looks at us as an asset. And once we accept his son as our personal savior, we will purchase. You see, 1 Corinthians 6:20 says, for we are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body. Now, you buy an investment. They told us that we will purchase with a price by God. Therefore, we should glorify God in our bodies, in our spirit, which are God's. They belong to God. We belong to God. You see, we were created to give God glory, honor, and praise, and that's how he received a return on his investment. You see, the cost that was paid with the blood of Jesus Christ. God's initial deposit of grace, which is all his riches. You got to remember it was at Christ's expense. You see, everybody is created for the common good, and each one of us is responsible to add to kingdom building in one form or another. Everybody don't have the same task. Everybody don't have the same ability. Everybody is not asked to do everything. That's why God has many members. You see, realizing God as our creator, Jesus as our savior, and the Holy Spirit as our comforting God will ensure our working towards giving the highest return to God on his investment. See, God didn't just save us and walk away. He has given us everything necessary that we will be able to give him a return. Everything God has given us, our time, talents, gifts, and resources, are to be used here on earth until Jesus come back. You see, at the time, he will want to know, what have you done for him lately? And yes, he will be looking for that return on his investment. God made the biggest investment ever made. It was made on a cross in Calvary by the blood of Jesus, who was his only begotten son. He paid the price that bought the investment. Once he bought us, we became an asset. Hallelujah. And some assets appreciate and some depreciate. But God is looking for a return from his investment. You see, we got to think about it this way. When we invest in something, we expect a return. So what you think? You expect a return on what you invest, and God has invested in you by the blood of his son. He gave his son that he allowed his son to die that you may live, and you don't have nothing to give back. You know, like I say, we all invest in something, and everything we invest in, we expect a return, and so does God. He wants us to become more profitable until the end. It's only natural. God has sown into our lives and should reap a great harvest from our lives. And not only will God receive the harvest from how you live, but it's a two-way street. You will also reap a harvest for doing the things that God has asked you to do. Little harvest, little doing. Much harvest, much doing. And that's just a little background or intro on investments. So now we're going to go into the word of God, the scriptures. And I'm going to start with the 14th verse in Matthew 25. And it says, for the kingdom of heaven is a man traveling into a far country who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to one, 1. To every man according to their several ability. Come on now, look how fair God is. He gave everyone according to their ability. He ain't going to look for what he looking for from me, from you. So you don't never have to have no worries. You could understand God loves you just the way you are. He gave everyone according to their ability and straightway took his journey. You see, the just read scriptures is Jesus teaching a parable. By this time in the Bible, Jesus knew his time was coming short. So he wanted to make it as simple and clear as possible. So he was teaching them because he knew he would be leaving soon. And he used this parable of the talents to let us know that God expects a return on his investment. And it further emphasized the need for personal preparation and faithful service to the master. See, it's talking about your living here on earth. And even when you're in go to eternity. Because you see, when Jesus left, he said, I go to prepare a place for you. So where I am, you may be also. So that lets us know that heaven is a prepared place for a prepared people. So doing the things that will give a return on God's investment is also sending up eternal blessings for us in eternity. You see, a parable is a comparison of two things, often done through a story. that has two meanings, an earthly story and a heavenly meaning. You see, in this parable, the far-off country indicates the time during which God, which Jesus is in heaven, sitting at the right hand of the Father, interceding on our behalf. This is a time between his first and second coming. The three servants are typical of three types of people who has been entrusted with various tasks according to their ability. We don't all have to produce the same results, but all of us have something to do. That is why we can believe what the Bible says, what God has for you is for you. And I always add more to that when I say that. What God has for you is for you, but also what God has for you to do is for you to do. Come on now, y'all. Hallelujah. Glory, hallelujah. Because everything is tailor-made. The Bible says we was uniquely and wonderfully made, no two alike. Remember, to whom much is given, much is also required. One had five. God probably expect more from him. One have two. And one he gave one. You see, the goods are the things that would be needed to live a life righteously unto God. The talents represents the gifts, the blessings, and are distributed to each according to their ability. And as God pleases, and God did all of this for the common good, to be used in the kingdom of God here on earth. And I want you to know today that each person that God created have at least a gift, a talent, some resources, and enough time to handle the things necessary for living for yourself, your family, your friends, your jobs, your interests, or whatever it may be. And enough time to handle the things of God. See, so there will be no excuses. I often say that if 24 hours a day was not enough time to take care of our business and God's business, God would have made us day 36 or 48 hours. If you trust God is ultimate and all-knowing, you have to believe at some point that 24 hours a day is enough time for God and for you. It might be you need to prioritize better. You might need to change and rearrange your agenda. But it's enough. So when we stand before God, no one will have an excuse that will stand up against God. You see, God gives according to your ability. And not just your ability, your desire to please him and his purpose for your expected end. Here we see that God doesn't expect from you what he knows you cannot do or you're not capable of achieving. Or you do not have things but we all often say God has provided all of the provisions necessary for us to do whatever he wants. No excuses. You see, I have learned in life that if we take care of God's business, he will take care of ours. And here we see that he has provided everything. He has provided everything for you to accomplish his goal. That's pretty cool, y'all. He has provided everything to accomplish it. And that's beautiful. And we go on verse 16 now. And I'm going to read 16 to the end of the chapter. Then he that had received 5 talents went and traded with the same and made them another 5 talents. Likewise, he that had received 2, he also gained another 2. But the one that had received 1 went and digged in the earth and hid the Lord's money. All right, that's what he did. He got ready to go, and that's how he distributed. He said, y'all take care of this, and I want to return on what I have given you when I come back. You see, in verse 19, said, after a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoned with them. And 20 says, and so he that had received 5 talents came and brought another 5, saying, Lord, thou delivered unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained besides them 5 talents more. His Lord said unto him, well done, thy good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee a ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of thy Lord. He said, come on in and enter into the joy with me. You see, and it says, I will make you a ruler over many things. How do you think some people sometimes, or it appears like it, they entered into the joy of the Lord? Most of the time, plenty of things don't shake them because of their trust in God. They always seem to have peace because they enjoy the peace of God. You got to get connected to your maker to receive the attributes of your maker. And that's how he'll get a return and you'll get a blessing. In verse 22, he said, he also had received 2 talents, came and said, Lord, thou delivered unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside them. And the Lord said unto him, well done, good and faithful servant, that thou hast been faithful over a few things, and I will make you ruler over many. Enter into the joy of your Lord. You see, God is not going to entrust things with someone that he knows not to be trusted. God will never present an opportunity for you to do something that he know you're not going to do. Many times, people always tell me, Sister Diane, I ain't never heard the voice of the Lord. But I know you feel the Holy Spirit nodding in your spirit saying, don't do this or do that, or don't do that or do that. And you may listen. Maybe sometime and maybe sometime not. But he said, I will make you ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. And verse 24, then he which had received 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee that thou art a hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown and gathering where thou hast not sowed. 25. And the man goes on to say, and I was afraid and went and hid thy talent into the earth. Lo, there art has that is thine. He's telling, look, I got what you gave me. 26. And the Lord answered and said unto him, thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knowest that I reap where I sowed not and gathered where I have not strawed. Thou ought to have put my money to the exchanges. And then at my coming, I would have received my own with usury. If you'd have gave it to them and let them handle it, it would be better than me giving it to you. And you see, you got to realize this about this person that had the one. He wanted to go up against God, talking about how God is. He didn't know God because he told him, yeah, you want to reap what you don't sow. Come on, y'all. And you want to gather where you never straw it. So it is evidence when you read this, you got to realize that that particular servant did not know who his master was. Evidently, he just didn't know. He wasn't taught. And if he was taught, he never tried to take heed to it or learn. You know, he just didn't know. So this is telling you about the character of that one that got the one thing when he made them comments about the master. He didn't know him. There's so many people always have something to say in those lines when they're talking about our Lord and Savior. You see, they know of Jesus, but they don't know him for themselves. And that's how this particular person was. And so verse 28, he said, therefore, take the talent from him and give it to him which has 10 talents. For unto everyone that has shall be given, and he shall have abundance. Hallelujah. That's what they talk about, losing your blessings. You know, people sometimes say you could lose your blessing. This is one of the prime examples. He didn't use it, and he lost it. They say if you don't lose it, you'll lose. If you don't use it, you'll lose it. The gift that God has given us. We can't be like that servant and set on it. If God asks us to pray, we should pray. If he's given us a voice to sing, we should sing. That's just like the record that played earlier. They use a lot of instruments. They say if I was an eagle, they would soar in the sky to give God glory. If they were a singer, they'll lift up their voice. If they was a drummer, they'll beat the drums. And it was a prime example how everybody has something that they could use to give God the glory, the praise, and the honor. And you see, God has established this because we are on the earth, but we're not of this earth. We are living in the kingdom of God here on earth. We pray to our Father, prayer, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Let thy kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. God has a spiritual kingdom here on earth for the believers. And God expects his kingdom. It's not a place. It's a moral way of living. It's a connection to the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. It's everybody that's on the same accord. It's all the believers trying to give God a return on his investment. Hallelujah, y'all. Hallelujah, y'all. And God, that's just the way he planned it. So he took the one from him and gave it to the one who had 10. You see, 29 say, for unto everyone that has shall be given, and he shall have abundance. Jesus said, the devil came but to kill, steal, and destroy. Jesus said, but I come that you may have life and have it more abundantly. See what this scripture say, and he shall have abundance. But from him that has not, shall be taken away even that he hath. That's also the rules in the world. Everybody loves a winner. And many times, no matter what you're doing in life, when you riding high, everybody is your friend and want to be your friend and giving praise unto your name. But fall on and see how they scatter like flies. And verse 30, and cast ye the unprofitable servants into the outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. You see, and you'll say, well, it's just talking about a saved person or unsaved person. One thing we know, he didn't know Jesus. He didn't know the master. Another thing is how he handled what God has given him. And this man may not have truly been saved. You know, that's where the parable, not the parable, but the scripture where God says plenty of people are going to come and try to get in and say, I prophesied in your name. I preached and teached in your name. I helped the sick. He said, get from by me because I don't know you. They probably had different agendas or was doing it for their own self-service. Many preachers had mega church. Yeah, they preaching to the preacher, but what are they preaching? And I'm not talking about any church, y'all, because God can use anybody if he could use a donkey to speak to Baal. So I'm just saying, God don't go by what you say or what you do. God search the heart. And the last verse says, when the Son of Man shall come in his glory, Jesus Christ, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. Jesus is coming back, y'all. He's coming back for his church. We are the church, not the building. God has given us many things and talents and gifts and money, time and resources. And he wanted to be used for the common good in the kingdom. You see, we are all stewards. And everything that we have belongs to God. Get it twisted. What God gives you is never just for you. And you might say, oh, I'm on a fixed income. But the lady next door only may need a loaf of bread, $3.40. And many times God gives the opportunity for you to be of service to someone and you refuse. And other times God just don't send nobody your way because he know you're not willing. Believe me, he has given everyone enough to be shared for the common good in the kingdom. You know, I went and looked up Luke 27, and Jesus himself said, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. See, God stripped the 10 and made the 2. Well, really, it was 613 laws. God wrote the 10 commandments. Jesus was questioned in this chapter in Luke about what was the greatest of the commandments, and Jesus took the 10 and broke it down to 2. And it also said that if you just do this, you would accomplish all of the laws and all of the prophecy that God had given to the prophet. You'd be mighty fine if you just love God with your whole heart and love your neighbor as yourself. And there's a simple thing called a golden rule that if everybody could just do that, we would be in a much better place. If everybody learned to treat everybody else how they want to be treated, that's simple, but it's not being achieved. You see, if we could just do these 2 commandments, God will receive honor, glory, and praise. And I'm not just talking about money, you see, because somebody might need a ride, and you go in the same way. You know, a neighbor may need only a word of encouragement. No money, no goods, no nothing. But you only have a time to wave. Y'all know I ain't got time for that. I don't know what they want. You know, God will never ask you to do or give something you don't have. He knows what he has invested in you. God know everything he has in you and everything you could do. God know if you're doing it or you're not. He even know why. He knows what he has invested in us. And that's why he wants to collect a return. You see, two of the servants doubled the investment. And here we see the same amount wasn't given, but they both doubled it. Now watch this. That still represents 100%. God gave 1/5 and he doubled it. He gave the other one only 2. But both of them doubled it. So they both gave a return. The one who only got 2 did his best because he got 100% return. Come on, y'all. And the other one buried his, that's to say he set on it, didn't invest, and had the audacity to bury it in the earth. You see, what God had given him, he didn't even try to give God a return. It is said, if you don't lose it, you're going to sure enough lose it. And his was taken away. The last man was thinking only of himself. He hoped to play it safe and protect himself from, as he thought, the hard master. But he was judged for his self-centeredness. We must not make excuses to avoid doing what God tells us to do. God has given us gifts according to our ability and as he pleases for the common good. The phrase, after a long time, give us the indication that Jesus is coming back. Everyone that produce results and grow in the grace that God has given us and receive the knowledge of God will automatically be giving God a return on his investment. And will also be commended by the master saying, thou good and faithful servant, and his promise to be a ruler over many things. Because you see, the more you give, the more you get. And sometimes I have to remind people, you ought to stop looking for things to receive things you're not willing to give. Come on, y'all. The parable describes the consequences of two attitudes of Christ's return. The person who diligently prepares for it by investing his time or her time, resources, talents to serve God, they will be rewarded. You see, Matthew 16:27 say, for the man of God shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels. We're talking about the rapture now. And then he shall reward every man according to his work. Jesus is coming back, y'all. And he's going to ask, what have you done for me lately? And when we think about investment, we have to really realize we all make investments, and if you want to tell the truth about it, how you feel when it's all said and done. You see, we invest in people, places, and things all the time. You see, we get married and invest ourselves into a relationship, our time, talents, and resources, expecting a return on our investment. To love and to be loved, to honor and to be honored, to trust and to be trusted, to be faithful and receive faithfulness in return. Come on, y'all. And that's what we're looking for. And when we don't receive it, it becomes a disappointment. You know, we get a job and we invest our time and talents looking for a return of security, promotion, advancement, raises, growing up the ladder to success, which would be a return on an investment. But when it doesn't happen, you feel undervalued. We all, many times, invest in worldly things, hoping for a return. But when it's all said and done, we realize that everything in the world is temporal, and only them things you do for Christ will last. And many times the things that you invest in, material things and whatever, sometime after a while, you become disenchanted. Just about everyone who have children invest in their children's lives. They teach them. They educate them. They give them shelter and, you know, food and everything they need. They show them the right way, and they even let them know what they expect from them, like God gave us his Bible. And when those children don't turn out like we think they should, we become heartbroken. God invested his love towards us. We don't have to give. God invested his love towards us. We don't have to give a return to be saved. Come on, y'all. But because God loves us unconditional and invested himself for us, we should want to give him a return on his investment. If we do as Jesus said we should do with our talents, gifts, resources, time, and love God first, Matthew 6:33, and all of God's people, he will receive a return on his investment. And if you ever invested in anything and expected a return on your investment, well, I ask you tonight, how do you think God feels? That's our lesson for tonight. And God is rewarding us, y'all. God is keeping us. God is loving on us. God is supplying our every need because of his love for us. And it ain't because we're so good, and we may not have given him all of the returns he could, but he still loves us, not because of, but in spite of. And that's our lesson for tonight. If anyone would like to add to it or make another mention about it or talk about an experience with this particular lesson or anything, you could press the one button on the phone and I'll open your mic. Anyone have anything they would like to say? And remember, only what we do for Christ is going to last. Only what we do for Christ will last. Calling number is 989-774. Your mic is open.
Hello, Sister Diane. The question I wanted to ask kind of meant like what we do for other people. If we give and do for other people.
Yes.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Hello.
Yes. Part of service, okay. When you give. Yes. When you give someone a kind word. When you tell someone that Jesus can save anybody. When you
right.
just tell someone that God loves you, it's all
right.
a part of God's service.
Okay, so that that kind of parable about the tablets, and this is what we have to do for other people and give to other people and help other people. Right?
Well, God has assignments for everyone. And everybody don't have the same assignment. God
right.
will always let you know what he wants you to do. You know, some people get anxious and think they love God so much and they want to prove it. So sometimes they do things, well, I'll say like this. Sometimes you may
come from your heart.
Well, that's a great one. If it don't come from your heart, it don't count. And
right.
then some people try to do more than they can do. You understand?
Yes.
God is not putting every, you know, I'll give an example. Sometime in a church, they have some people that love God so much and they believe by loving him so much, they got to do this, this, and this. But they may have a husband at home. And they could be at the church and neglecting their home. God didn't say that. That's the way they're making it up in their faith. So there are things that God acts up. And God wants us to use common sense. He don't want
yeah.
you to give your mortgage payment away to somebody and then you put out on the street.
Right.
And things
right.
like that.
But, do for other people from your heart and give to other people from your heart. But take care of yourself, too. That's
correct.
What I'm getting.
Correct.
Okay. I would like special prayers for my son, Derek. Dustin, too, but Derek, I'm extremely worried about. And I don't want to go
into
details.
Yeah, we still have him on a prayer line. We pray every month for him. For you
I
and
know,
your boys.
We're going through a really, yeah, really bad time right now.
Okay, you're talking about Derek?
Yeah. I'm just afraid that if he continues his lifestyle, I'm going to lose him.
Well, we're going to lift him up tonight, okay?
Okay, and then I have to trust in God that everything's going to work out. And sometimes
right.
that's hard to do.
And then
but
you see,
you
when we tell God and we trust him that everything's going to work out, we also have to make the statement, not my will, dear God, but your will. See, God working
mm-hmm.
it out don't always have to fit what you want.
Right.
Or how you want it. So that evens that scale. You see what I'm saying? Lord, this is what
yeah.
I want, but I know your will is going to be done. And no matter how
right.
you do it or how you fix it, Lord, I'm going to still give you praise, honor, and glory. And that's how we can move on in the name of Jesus.
Thanks for explaining that to me a little bit more. I get it now.
Yeah, God's will going to be done, and it's not always what we want. But he's still
right.
a loving God, and he's not doing it to punish you, even to cause you heartache or pain. Is his will going to be done?
Right.
But he wants us to pray and tell him what we want. He wants to hear from his children. He wants that intimate relationship. He wants to know what's
yeah.
on your heart, and that's what we do in prayer.
Relationship. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
right.
Building the relationship with them is a great and fruitful thing, too.
That's right. And you can remember when Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane and the soldiers was coming to arrest him, and he prayed so hard, the Bible say it seemed like blood was dropping from him. But he asked God to remove the cup from him. He said,
right.
God, not my will. But
yours.
Your will be done. And that's how we should pray.
Okay. Thank you, Sister Diane.
Thank you, my Sister Diane McBride. We have another caller who has pressed the line. Your number is 45898. Your mic is open.
Hi, Minister Diane. I always never really understood that parable. Well, I must say it, I always thought that it was unfair because I used to feel like, well, he didn't want to waste the man money or mess it up or whatever like that. And I used to get confused with the gifts and the talents as thinking as, like talents is something, but I understand more is more of an investment type of thing and not like the gift that God gave you, because I used to use that scripture thinking that God gave us gifts and he'll take it away, but really our gifts are irrevocable because that's more of like the spiritual thing that he gave us, right? But the talents are more of like the natural things that we have. And so I just never really understood that part, you know, but I understand it better tonight, like with it being an investment more, just different things like that. And I just wanted to share
if
that because I'm trying
single,
to study now about the gifts. Mm-hmm.
Right. If whatever gift God gives to you, he has given you for service, for the common good, for all the believers. He wants you to use his gift. The man who had the one talent, he set on with the gift that God had given him. Or you say the talent. Take it out of that phrase because that gift, that talent was referring to money. But think about it as talents and gifts and things like that. Just imagine if everybody, if all Christians use all of their gifts all the time, what kind of world this would be.
Mm-hmm. I can imagine. But a lot of people don't even know what their gifts are. Yes. And some of us don't know what the gifts are yet. Like, you're still trying to find out.
Don't you teach?
I think.
Do you give encouragement to your children?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Huh? Do you spread the word of God?
Yes.
All that's gifts, baby. Everything that God has given you, the ability and the opportunity to be of service is a gift. Don't people call you to pray for them?
Yes.
That's a gift. Okay?
Thank you. Yeah. Thank
you. Some people have the gift of encouragement. Some people have the gift of giving. Some have a gift of praying. Some have a gift of singing. They are all gifts. Everything you have is a gift from God. That's the way you got to look at it. Everything you have is a gift from God, and whatever God has given you and you share is given to God for service, and he's getting a return on his investment. Then when all those children needed you, you took them in?
Yeah.
That's a gift of servanthood, baby. And you're giving God a return when you take care of them babies. Okay?
Okay. Thank you.
Stop looking for the pie in the sky. Look at what you know God has given you inside of you. And start from there. Satan, I want you to know your gifts. You are operating in your gifts. I've heard you teach. I've heard you pray. I know you take the children in. I know you give words of encouragement all the time. You know, that's why I could speak what I'm saying. I see your gifts. And yes, they will maybe more. So, you know, be blessed and continue to operate in your gifts. I have another caller that has pressed the line. Thank you so much, Sister Elizabeth Baez. And you be blessed. Caller, your number is 321-615-15. Your mic is open.
My mic is open?
Yes. Is it an accident or you like to make a comment?
So it's an accident.
So you want me to close your mic? Praise God. Is there anyone else who would like to say anything? This is time that God has given us. And if anyone else would like to say anything at this time, you can. If not, I have a intercessor on the line, Minister Elyria Mackey. And we had a prayer request from Sister Diane McBride for her son, Derek. And she's crying out for prayers. And I want to know if you can pray for him at this time. Minister Elyria Mack, if you're on the line.
Give me a few.
All right, darling. You want me to go to Sister Pam?
No, I'm here. I have to get in a quiet spot.
All right. Okay. Praise
Thank
God.
You. Thank you, Lord God. God, we thank you. Because your word says that you call those things that as though they were. And God, my sister is crying out for her son, oh God. God, and you know Derek. And God, you said in your word, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And he that cometh to God must believe that he is and that he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. And God, we diligently seek you daily, Lord God. And God, I'm calling right now in the mighty name of Jesus that you touch Derek's heart right now, Lord God. God, touch his mind, oh God. God, let your spirit convict his very soul, oh God. God, you said in your word that you knock at the door of a man's heart. And God, I'm asking that you will go through and knock on the table of his heart right now in the mighty name of Jesus. And God, your word declares whatever we bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatever we need on earth is loose in heaven. And God, we binding up the enemy off of his life right now in the mighty name of Jesus. God, we ask that you will even remove sin from around him, oh God. Remove company, Lord God, from around him, Lord God. Oh, in the mighty name of Jesus. And God, we stand on your word and your promises because all your promises are amen to the glory of God. We ask that you will loosen right now in the mighty name of Jesus. And God, I ask that you will encourage the mother right now in the mighty name of Jesus. Oh, God, we can cry out one for another because your word says so. And your word said that we draw strength one from another, Lord God. And God, I pray for my sister right now, Lord, that you would touch her, Lord, and encourage her heart in the mighty name of Jesus. And God, we know that your word is your will for our lives, oh God. And God, we stand on your word, Lord God, as the believers, knowing that whatever we ask, you said, ask and it shall be given. You said, seek and we shall find. Knock and the door will be open unto us, Lord. And God, we believe your word, Lord. And God, we believe that you're going to call him back to you, Lord. You're going to call him out of the company that he's been keeping, Lord God. God, you know and only you know what's going on because you see all things, Lord. And we believe in your word, Lord God. And we standing in the gap with this mother, Lord God, that you would touch his very heart. And God, I ask that the Holy Ghost would go to him and preach his very heart that he has no rest, Lord God, until he come back to his right mind, Lord God. And I ask that you would make him whole, Lord. And most of all, I'm thanking you for delivering him out of the state he's in. God, you are a deliverer. And I thank you for delivering him right now, Lord. I thank you for
thank you, Lord, and Derek, Lord God. And I thank you, Lord God, for serving his very soul right now, Lord. In the mighty name of Jesus. Your word declares that you are to the church daily such as to be saved. And God, we ask that you would add it to the church, oh God. In the mighty name of Jesus. And God, I pray for all our sons and daughters, oh God. Oh God, I ask that you would touch our young men and our young women, Lord. In the mighty name of Jesus. God, that they would walk according to your word, Lord. And God, I thank you, Lord, for deliverance power. I thank you because your word said that you the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. You change not. And God, you said before we even call, you're hearing us. And while we're yet speaking, you're answering us, oh God. And we do stand on your word that we will be created for your praise, Lord. And we're going to praise you through the circumstances, knowing that when praises go up, blessings going to come down, Lord God. And we're going to praise you, Lord, and for your deliverance, Lord. In the mighty name of Jesus. Oh, God, I thank you for believing me right now in Jesus' name. I give you glory, honor, and praise, Lord. And, God, I thank you for delivering that young lady whose mother I spoke to yesterday, God. I thank you, Lord, for her deliverance, Lord. In Jesus' name, I pray, amen, and thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Amen, amen, amen. Amen. Amen, 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 amen. And if that's it for tonight, I thank again each and every one of you who have came and took time out of your busy schedule. It is my prayer that the words that came from my mouth, which is only information, that the Holy Ghost grant you revelation and illumination as to what God has for each one of us to do. In the mighty name of Jesus, I pray. I'll see you guys on next week if God says the same. But until then, everybody go in peace and exhibit and flow in the joy of God, as the scripture says. In Jesus' name, amen, and good night.
I can't make it. Huh?